on Thursday, not even with Jordan Spieth at 8 under through 14 holes and threatening to put up a major record 62 in this first round. Spieth proven to be mortal at 15.
10 feet for par, sliding down to his right, creeping down towards the cup. He gave up on it early. Boy, he stood up earlier than the patrons thought he should have, but he knew that ball was right all the way. It is a bogey for Jordan Spieth. Didn't lose a ball here at 15. He hit it all six times. So back to 7 under par with 3 holes to play.
Brian Katrick had the call. Spieth's only bogey of the day thus far, and he still has a 2-shot lead. You're listening to exclusive coverage of the 2015 Masters on Westwood One.
Hello, America. It's me, Richard, H&R Block Tax Pro. Did you know that more than 70% of Americans get refunds? If you haven't filed yet, there's no better time to come in and let the tax professionals at H&R Block get you every penny you deserve. Visit hrblock.com to schedule an appointment today. Same-day appointments are available, but they're filling up fast. Get your billions back, America.
Not everyone gets a refund. Statistics based on IRS data.
The 12th at Augusta National has been called the toughest short par 3 in golf. Knock it long, you're in the back bunker or worse. Hit it short, you're in Ray's Creek. Unless, of course, your name is Fred Couples and the year is 1992. Then your ball stops miraculously on the bank. You make par and go on to win your first green jacket. This celebration of Masters tradition has been brought to you by Rolex, the watch of champions.
Taking a look at the leaderboard brought to you by Golfsmith. People that would do anything for golf deserve a store that would do anything for golfers. At Golfsmith, guaranteed low prices are just one of the ways they help you get the right gear at the right price. To find a store, visit golfsmith.com. Three players at 5 under, 2 shots behind Spieth, including Charlie Hoffman, Justin Rose, and Ernie Els at 45 years old. Els with a 3-putt bogey at 18 to finish his round. Tiger Woods playing his first round of competitive golf since taking a long break to put his game in order. The 14-time major winner navigating Amen Corner with a bogey at 12 after getting his ball soaked in Ray's Creek. But he rebounded with a birdie at 13. Woods is at 1 over par. So is Henrik Stenson, the world's second-ranked player. He's 1 over through 15. Jason Day putting together back-to-back birdies at 12 and 13. He is now 3 under, 4 shots off the lead. From Augusta, I'm Ted Emrick, Westwood One Sports.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, this is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here.
Turn on fireworks!
On Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
At 5 o'clock from the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Jordan Burnfield. Wolves playoff tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster.com or ChicagoWolves.com. White Sox trailed 2-0 in the sixth, and John Danks faced Sal Perez with a runner aboard.
Morales at second. The pitch is swinging a high fly ball to left. This is hit way back. Cabrera at the track, at the fence. 2-run homer for Perez. It is now 4-0 Kansas City.
That's at Farmer right here on The Score. Perez's first round tripper this season. Sox swept in Kansas City. The final today, 4-1. Alexi Ramirez drove in the Sox lone run. Danks allowed 4 earned and 7 hits in 5 2/3 innings. Off day for the Cubs today. They're in Denver to open up Coors Field tomorrow. Travis Wood against Tyler Matzik. Meantime, Charles Tillman's career with the Bears officially over. Cornerback inks a 1-year deal with the Panthers, ending his 12-year tenure in Chicago. Chairman George McCaskey called Tillman one of the best to ever wear the blue and orange. Bears preseason schedule is out as well. Bears will host the Dolphins in mid-August, then they'll visit the Colts and Bengals. They'll close the exhibition slate with a home date with the Browns in early September. Elsewhere, after a 9-point effort from Derrick Rose last night, the Bulls point guard expected back in the lineup when they visit the Heat tonight. Kirk Heinrich also expected to play again. He returned in last night's loss to Orlando. In hockey, 2 games left in the regular schedule for the Blackhawks. They visit the Blues, who have a 3-point advantage in the Central Division. And again at the Masters, Jordan Spieth, your leader right now, 7 under par through 16 holes today. Tiger Woods, +1 through 14. The new Turkey Italiano melt from Subway. Tender, juicy turkey, Genoa salami and pepperoni, fresh toasted with melty provolone and drizzled with tangy new Subway vinaigrette. Subway, eat fresh. I'm Jordan Bernfield. You're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the score, tomorrow at 2:35 when the Sox host the Twins in the home opener on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram.
And this segment brought to you by Sport Clips with 70 Chicagoland locations. It's good to be a guy.
Boars and Bernstein.
I'm bored.
This seems like a good bit of fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Who knows what could happen?
Good news, big news. D-Rose is back.
Rose out of the corner.
There you go, D-Rose.
Three for Derek.
The first segment was very good. I was very pleased with that. His conditioning, which was to be expected, probably kicked in a little bit. Gives him a baseline. It's a good start.
Rose raises up and misses that. Right now, D-Rose 1-6 from the three.
It's all about patience. I know I'm going to have my time. Right now, while I'm not playing, I'm just trying to learn a little bit more, seeing what's open, seeing how they playing everybody. The only thing I can do is just sit back, watch, and learn.
Boars and Bernstein.
You guys do 4 hours a day?
Five.
God almighty. I do three and want to stab myself in the heart with a pencil for you.
Talking Chicago sports on your ride home.
Domestic violence, it doesn't bother football fans. No football fans are truly bothered by it. And nobody's going to be bothered when Adrian Peterson shows up in their town if he's a Cowboy. You think these women are going to be outraged by that, or kids? They're not going to be outraged. They're going to be celebrating. That's the way it is. And it's not that Ray Rice is some piranha.
Piranhas?
I don't think we're even out of here anymore.
Terry Bores and Bernstein.
A show by the name of Bores and Bernstein that I've been told that they said some pretty harsh things.
The show goes on!
Bores and Bernstein. Weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio.
The
670 The Score.
Things since I was a kid. Piranha, pariah. I do the same
Piranhas.
Things as I was telling you.
Oh,
I was
as Rice as some piranha.
Yeah. Well, you know he is, though. And Adrian Peterson looks like he's going to have to stay with the Vikings, right?
But he said he doesn't want to. So that's why he screwed himself. I know he screwed himself.
I don't think they're going to give the big man a choice.
All right, when you get involved in a situation he was involved in, and what happened with that, then you go out and start saying, "I don't want to play for this team ever again."
I know.
You got to make sure you have someone there that can actually take you, want you, that you can go another landing spot before you start talking like that. And if this is correct here from our guy Scott in Davenport,
yes.
If you add the 15 at-bats today, that makes it 77 at-bats. The Minnesota Twins apparently have set the record for most innings to start a season without a run.
Congratulations.
Yeah, because apparently the record, from what the notes he sent me here, the record was two games. There was a bunch of teams that started two games, started a season, two consecutive games, started a season without scoring a run. And on the top of that list, Minnesota... 4-6-2-15 to 4-8-2-15. You add in the 15 at-bats a day, it'll give them 77 at-bats, which is the most at-bats to start a season without scoring a run for a team.
You know what that's called? That's just getting every penny of that Maurer money.
Whew.
Every penny. You're getting your money's worth there, Minnesota. But anyway, so we heard Derrick Rose there, and he returns last night and looks about like you thought he was going to be. Too many turnovers, too many bad shots. But he didn't look like he was favoring anything. He looked like he actually had a little burst. So I think you take that to heart. The rest of it, I'm not sure what you see anymore. Because even when he was at his best, remember when he had the game against Golden State, he had 11 turnovers.
Right.
He had a weird game. He had like 30 points, terrific, and then 11 turnovers.
Well, you know, and we talked about yesterday with KC, had that game against Cleveland. And, you know, we've talked about it at length, and that Cleveland was not interested from playing that game from the start.
Nope.
But Derek looked as close to Derek as we've seen him look. And, you know, that's why I asked the question. We talked about it yesterday with KC about, you know, how often can we expect that in Derek's future? And I think now we're at a point, and maybe I'm completely wrong, and like he said, maybe the middle of next season, towards the end of next season, he's back to as close to 100% as he's going to be for his career. I just think we're going to see that type of performance. There's be spurts, and there'll be every handful of games. We might see that kind of performance. But there was a time when he would step on the floor and you'd say, he is the Bulls' best player. He's going to be the Bulls' best player for this game. And that's not the case now. He's a guy that has a huge contract that he deserved to get that contract. In my world, he deserved it. So good for him to have it. But he's not going to be the most consistent best player on a regular basis ever again, I don't think.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that way. And, you know, every time you start to think this way about, well, yeah, he'll come back. He'll be all the way back by a certain point, whether it's, you know, if you get in a second playoff series this year, whether it's the Cavs or somebody, maybe he'll be back by then or next year, whatever you think. He always seems like he, at this point in time, after all this has happened, like something is just going to happen to him again. Right? I mean, it just doesn't seem logical to me to expect that from here on out, you know what I mean, Maddie, that Derrick Rose is clean, everything's fine, nothing ever happens to him again. It just doesn't seem likely to me, playing that sport.
Well, I just don't know how he can. I mean, with his body and the way he plays it.
The torque and everything
right,
else.
And now,
I don't see it.
I mean, you're talking about two major knee injuries.
Yep.
A smaller one here that cost him 20 games. And you're adding age to it.
Yep. I don't see it.
I mean, I think getting older and that wear and tear, despite missing all those games from the seasons, just getting older really balances out and actually is a greater factor than missing those games. And you say, oh, well, you know, he should be rested and healthier because he hasn't played those games. But he's getting older, too, and major injuries.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I think that I don't know what the Bulls think. I don't know if they hold out hope. I haven't really asked anybody if they're holding out this hope that within a certain amount of time he can get back to being Derek again. But this is also a guy that supposedly was taking 1,000 shots a day. Remember the first time he was hurting? He's still awful shooting. I mean, right. Why is he? And again, he's doing that same stuff like that, jacking up threes. He's like 27%. Why is he jacking up threes?
Well, I mean, his game really never was from the outside.
No.
We obviously know we knew what he was. He was a dominant player going to the basket, and he could do it with, you know, with what looked like such ease. He could get to the rim, and he just doesn't have that anymore. And he's just not the outside shooter.
No.
And you throw in the really inability to play some solid defense on a consistent basis, and it seems like one of the biggest just disappointments for a guy we had such great hope for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how this plays out, but I don't have any real belief that everything is well now, that this is all over with, this is all behind him now, all these things that have troubled him for the last 3 years, oh, it's all over, okay, now we move on to a new chapter of his career. I just, for whatever reason, maybe I'm so conditioned just to think the opposite, I don't believe that. I mean, if you're, first of all, the old Derrick Rose, the torque he put on his body and on his legs and his knees and everything else with the way he played, I don't know that will hold up anymore, Matt.
Right.
I don't. It probably won't. He can't play that way.
I mean, how can it?
He probably can't. So, I mean, if you're going to stand out there and you're going to jack up threes and make bad passes, which he did both of last night, I'll say there were spurts where he looked like, okay, but he's not a very good defensive player, so he's a liability there, which is tough on this team where you have a liability inside now because you don't have anybody who can really protect the rim.
Right.
So, I don't hold out a lot of hope, I guess is what I'm saying.
I don't either, and I just don't know. I don't know why you would. I mean, what is it about these last couple seasons, or what you've seen from the recovery? And I guess unless it's just, you know, when what we heard from KC yesterday, and he even said that he's going to be a little more positive than most people when it comes to Derek and his recovery, that he's still willing to give it till the middle of next season or towards the end of next season to see if he gets back. And I just don't know how you can. I mean, you know, it's just.
Well, the window's closing here.
Right.
I mean, Pau isn't getting any younger.
Right.
I mean, he's had a magnificent season.
I mean, you're talking this season, next season, at most?
Well,
most?
Next season might be stretching it. I mean, I don't know. It's closing. Let's say it closed a little bit more after this season, and then you're down to maybe three quarters closed starting next season. So
right.
Then you really have to have everything go right for you.
Right.
So
but it also depends, though, on the continued growth of Nico
in his
NBA game. You know, if that can be a factor for next season where it does keep that window open a little longer. You just don't know. And last night, that Orlando game, so ugly to watch, disappointing way to lose that game.
Oh, yeah.
And that final play, Oladipo going to the rim and just really taking Butler on the crossover, drives it down the middle of the lane left-handed. And if you watched it, you know, Taj slides over to help out where Noah should have slid into the lane and just was this late getting there.
Yeah. There's just no.
It's just frustrating.
No,
it was just a really dumb, frustrating game to watch.
Yeah, there's no rim protection there at all. I mean, the guy, if he beat Jimmy off that dribble there, that's what's going to happen.
And then wasn't it Orlando during the season at one point had like two shots in the final couple seconds?
Oh, they did.
Like, put really easy shots to win a game and just missed?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. For whatever reason.
Right.
I don't know why. They don't seem to give anybody else trouble.
Right.
But, and look, the Pistons have given the Bulls trouble.
Right.
The Pistons fell out of the playoffs last night in a place where you got to be less than seven games. You know, when are they like 7 games under the last couple teams in the East battling for the playoff position for 7 and 8.
Right, and they're out.
They're way under 500.
And then, then that loss now last night drops the Bulls in the fourth spot. So, I mean, you know, is that a place that you want to be?
So you got the Wizards.
Don't want to be? I mean, you obviously would rather be 3, take on the Bucks, right?
Yep.
But that also, doesn't that stretch you out from playing the Cavaliers also?
It does.
If you get past the Wizards, you get the Hawks in the second round?
It does.
And then you wouldn't see Cleveland until the championship round.
That's correct.
Adam in a car phone, you're on the score. What's up, Adam?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just off work. Good. You know, last night's game, it was just, so frustrating. Just the fundamentals. I mean, they missed 8 free throws. They turned the ball over a dozen times. I mean, how can they expect to sustain themselves in the playoffs if they just can't beat teams like Orlando and Milwaukee? And I just don't. Just frustrating.
Yeah, you know, I know what you're saying. I don't know what the advantage is of slipping back to the number 4 position is. I know the Wizards haven't played well.
Let me just make sure I didn't make that up here with the.
Yeah, check it out. I don't know. Did the Raptors win?
They did. Yeah, the Bulls are in the fourth spot now. That's why. Because they're tied now at 46-32, and the Raptors have the tiebreaker because they're a division winner. So the Bulls, at the same record now are in the fourth spot and have the Wizards in the first round. But what a lot of people want is to push that Cavalier series back as
push
far as you
back
can.
A little.
And that's what this does.
That's what it does. So maybe there's some method to the madness. I just after seeing what we saw last year, I'm not. And again, they should be a better team than they were last year, but they're not the Wizards. I mean, John Wall has been great, and I don't know why it hasn't happened for them like I thought it would. They were really good early, and they've been not very good lately. I mean, they've won some games of late a little bit to help them, but they were bad for so long. It's one thing to have a slump,
right?
But they were bad.
I also think it's funny too that people are really discounting the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, as if the Bulls are some championship caliber team.
Going to roll right over them?
They're going to roll right past the Hawks. Oh, regardless of what they did in their regular season, that's kind of fun. I mean, you're talking about a 59 win team right now.
Yeah, I know.
We'd rather take the Hawks on because,
I don't think you really want either of them. I don't think you do.
So, and when it comes to 1-2, I don't think you want to play the Hawks or the Cavs.
You know, they can't rebound the damn ball a bit and they won 59 games. That's really hard to do. That's really hard to do. But that team is so well coached. They look like a little baby Spurs, and they're all
over
the place.
They shoot the ball well, and they're fast. They fly.
Yep. So I don't, Maddie, I don't want either one of them. Can we just play like the Bucks every series?
So, no, take on the Bucks. They'll have the Wizards, then the Bucks, and then you want to take on
then the
Celtics?
Wizards again.
You get the Celtics, maybe?
The Celtics, yes. The Celtics, that's what you want.
Or maybe the Nets. You want to take on 5, 6, 7, and 8, and you get through all 4 of those, and you can make the all the way to the finals?
Yes.
No, so, I mean, you're at the 4 seed now with that tiebreaker going to Toronto. So your first-round opponent would be Washington.
And you're at Miami tonight on a team that wants to get back in it, that still has a chance, I think, although that recent loss streak kind of put them in a break for a while, and they got back in it, and then they lost 4 in a row.
You know, and you're only a game on top of